Hi, and welcome to our Pensions Age podcast. My name's Laura Blows. I'm the editor of Pensions Age, and joining me today to discuss incorporating ESG strategies into fixed income portfolios is TCW's Head of Fixed Income ESG, Jamie Franco. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for being here. So, Jamie, environmental, social, and governance issues are obviously a big topic in investments today. But analysing fixed income for ESG is quite complex, given the varied sectors within the asset class and how issuance is often structured. So how do you think about ESG in the fixed income space?
Well, as your question pointed out, fixed income is a very complex part of the market. There are a lot of different types of issuers. You could have corporate credit or sovereign credit. You could see securitized credit. The important part about looking at ESG is that you need to look at two factors. One, looking at integration. What are the risk factors that you need to analyze that are relevant to the price of a security? They will vary and differ whether your corporate credit are securitized or sovereigns, for instance. But there's a way that analysts with good underwriting understand what are the factors that affect those particular securities, and including that in the investment process is really part of good due diligence. That's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is, how do we view investments that are sustainable in these types of assets? And by that, I mean, what companies or collateral is providing a benefit to the planet or society? That's a different analytical framework that requires different data. But it's also equally possible in the fixed income space. And provided as a manager, you're very clear about what you're trying to accomplish and which framework you're using, there is a way, we think, to credibly analyze a lot of these issues in the fixed income markets.
Okay, though, corporate credit is one thing for analyzing ESG factors, but how do you apply ESG screens with a sector like securitized assets, for instance?
Securitized is one of my favorite sectors in fixed income because there you're really looking at what is it that's being financed? What's the collateral behind the securitization? It's very different than corporate credit, where you're trying to analyze intentionality of a corporate issuer and whether they're meeting their environmental targets. It's really about how much of this pool of assets is going towards solar panels, for instance. How do I know that this mortgage underwriter is actually financing mortgages for low-income neighborhoods? These are things that good research and data can help you understand, but in some ways, looking at the collateral is a lot more straightforward than having to look at the corporate entity. And so you need to make sure that you build a proper framework to analyze very different parts of the securitized market. As you know, you could see anything from a mortgage to a car loan, consumer loans. There are certainly ways to analyze the ESG qualities of those. And then from a governance perspective, these are bankruptcy remote vehicles. Governance factors are a really important part of analyzing ESG risks in securitized assets, given the bankruptcy remote nature of the vehicle that you're financing. It's been a part of our credit underwriting for a very long time. And if you don't have a good governance structure, you really shouldn't be investing in the asset. So, you know, we think that adding additional features such as understanding the environmental footprint of what you're financing, both from a positive perspective and a risk mitigation perspective, along with the social characteristics, really builds out a robust research framework for securitized credit.
Okay, so talking about carbon footprint, is carbon footprint data readily available for securitized credit then?
Well, Laura, that is an excellent question and one that a lot of us are trying to solve right now. Securitized credit does not have a readily available carbon estimation. And We recently joined the Partnership for Carbon Accounting Financials, which is a very important institution that is trying to estimate emissions for different asset classes in order to work with them and others in the market to figure out a methodology for how we map this to securitized credit. Net zero, understanding portfolios that can deliver net zero objectives, being able to understand the emissions that you're financing is really, really important priority for investors and clients, and one that we feel compelled to solve.
Okay, and do you have a view, Jamie, on the SFDR regulations and whether they achieve strong ESG outcomes?
Well, first, you know, regulation is such an important part of advancing not only the goals, sustainable investment, but the broader objective of trying to finance climate transition. So I really give the European regulators a lot of credit for trying to systematically move assets and investments towards more sustainable outcomes. And, you know, like many regulations, there are a lot of ins and outs that sometimes can be challenging to implement. But I think the broader spirit of what they're trying to achieve is really important and one that we will try to rise and meet the challenge of making sure that what we're doing from our investments align with the objectives of the regulation.
I agree. Regulation certainly does help drive this forward. But what about on the issuer side then? Are you seeing traction with issuers taking ESG considerations more seriously now?
Oh, definitely. You know, there has been certainly controversy in the United States in particular around ESG. I think some of that is due to the fact that many of us are not very specific about what we're trying to do. It's important to make a distinction between what is a good risk management tool and what is a values-based investment. They often get conflated. And as a result of that, a lot of education is needed with clients, but we continue to see a lot of demand for different approaches across the sustainable spectrum, whether clients are looking for investments where they want to ensure they aren't financing certain companies or sectors. That's definitely an approach that some clients have taken. On the other hand, you see a lot of clients looking for ways to finance more sustainable. And that means a lot of different things to them. And as a result, as a manager, you need to flexibly design your ability to provide these solutions for clients. But we definitely are seeing demand. And in the conversations that I've been having in the UK and on my trip to Europe, ESG integration, which is looking at ESG factors, material factors as part of the investment process, is really just good due diligence and is part of the investment process and is really being seen as table stakes for managers. You need to be able to do that just as a going concern, in addition to having the capabilities to provide other types of sustainable investment solutions.
You mentioned about there being different approaches to this. So I'd be interested to know, what is TCW's approach? How are you thinking about creating solutions that fit the evolving investor demand?
We are trying to provide an ability to integrate ESG considerations that are financially material across asset classes and sectors, even ones that traditionally have been challenging to evaluate, such as private loans and securitized. It's critically important to the investment process and understanding the risks in our portfolios and whether or not we're being compensated for those risks. So that to us is foundational work. The other work that we're doing, we think is really innovative, which is to try and provide sustainable investing solutions to our clients across a range of objectives. Whether you're a client who's looking for clean technology solutions or affordable housing and other social goals, lending goals, we have the ability to customize those types of investments. We're also trying to work on a robust framework for understanding transition. Transition to a low carbon economy affects all sectors. So how do we facilitate that transition through our investments, whether they're in renewable energy, or whether it is encouraging increased biodiversity and land usage? And how do we help our clients design portfolios that can achieve those objectives as well as others that pertain to low carbon future? It's a very important part of the investment landscape, particularly given the challenges that we all face collectively on this front. And so we're very excited about the ability to partner with clients to provide investment solutions in that space.
Okay, Jamie, that seems a very good note to end on. Thank you very much for joining me to discuss ESG within fixed income. And thank you all for listening. Goodbye.